I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Marissa, how are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I am terrific.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, you know, part of it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it was that, you know, we're recording this a little bit late, actually later than normal, closer to our release date. But as we record this, it's Labor Day morning, and I had a wonderful weekend with some friends. And actually on Saturday morning when I chose my attitude was to be fully present because I wanted to enjoy every moment and every aspect of, you know, a long weekend with friends. And I did.
That's great.
Because I chose to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean everything in the weekend went perfect. It just means I chose to focus on the most important things, and it was an awesome weekend. How about you? How was your weekend?
It was good. You know, nothing monumental, but I was able to get a lot of things done. So
good.
It's, you know, it always feels good to accomplish things, check them off the list.
Yes.
Luckily, my husband took the kids to the playground for a while, so I was able to kind of like whip things into shape around the house and do all my grocery shopping, which is really nice because now, like you said, today it's Labor Day and I'm going to be able to relax with my family all day.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So we better jump right into our topic or you won't get to go back to enjoy Labor Day with your kids. So we're on step three of our growth plan.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done a lot of work. We've identified, you know, what we really want. We've looked at what our goals, our values are in life. And last week we talked about assessing where we are in those areas that we felt are important. So we've got some areas that are strengths. We've got some areas that are weaknesses. We've got some areas that are probably halfway in between, I would imagine. And today we're going to talk about where do we find the resources to move us from where we are to where we want to be. And then just to give folks a little bit of a heads up, you know, next week we're going to talk about how do we lay this out? How do we structure the plan? How do we make sure that we're measuring it properly? And then the following week, we're going to do a recap, right?
Right.
And we're also going to have, I'm just a little bit of a teaser here. We're going to have some PDFs that folks can download so that you can then go back and listen to the podcast again and kind of fill in the blanks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if you've really done a great job of taking notes, you could always do that. Just take your notes and fill in the blanks. So let's jump right in. Resources. So where do we find the information we need? And the first one that I wrote down here was books.
Mm-hmm.
Just plain books. I'm listening. One of the books that I'm listening to right now is on George Washington, but I just finished one on John Adams. And John Adams and Thomas Jefferson kind of had this little challenge back and forth where, you know, who had the biggest library? Because these men realized that books were ideas, books were information, books could expand their mind, books could help them grow. And it's still true today. You know, 250 years later, it's still true. But the beauty of the books today is you can get all kinds of books. You can get free books. So, you know, what does a person have to do to get a library card? I don't remember.
I can't imagine it's very difficult. My library card is actually from like the early 2000s. It still has my maiden name on it.
That's still newer than mine.
But I think you might be able to request it online or you just need to go into your local library. But I'm so glad you brought up library because it is, the library itself is a great resource because
absolutely
you can find like a myriad of books, audio books, ebooks if you want to read on your tablet or on your e-reader.
Yes.
I think I've talked about the library on here before. Everyone knows how much I love the library. But you know, it's a great place to access whatever you're looking for.
And sure.
And 9 times out of 10, you'll be able to find it. Of course, you can purchase books as well, but
right,
the library is a great option for finding what you're looking for.
And, you know, it is. And libraries are really neat places. I never appreciated them when I was younger. But, you know, our daughter Bethany worked in the Onondaga Free Library for a while when she was in school. It was just a really cool place. And the other thing that I want to talk about is a lot of times, like some people, my wife is a big ebook reader.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the iPad mini, and that's a perfect thing. It's lightweight. She can, you know, I'm not an e-reader. I like to have I'm more of a traditionalist, and I like a good old fashioned, and I prefer a hardbound, not a paperback book.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, and our folks know that I'm really huge on audiobooks because I spend so much time in the car. But so all of those things you can get from the public library, and if they don't have it, they'll get it for you.
Mm-hmm.
It can get sent from libraries across the country. You know, they're all part of a library chain type of thing. So another thing that I want to tell people about is if you're a person that really loves books, you can buy used books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember it's a book that Tim has on his bookshelf now, Team of Rivals, which was Doris Kearns Goodwin's book about the Lincoln administration. I actually picked up that book at... The Thrifty Shopper, which is like the Rescue Mission's store. You know, I was in there. So my dad had found a cabinet that he wanted, and he needed my vehicle. And when I was there picking up the cabinet for him, I looked over, and here was this book, and it was almost unused. So don't be afraid to just look around and find books that if you really want to build a library. I was listening to a podcast last week, an interview with John Maxwell, and I would love to see his library someday, but... His library is so extensive that he has sections where he has different kinds of books. I thought, that is really cool. You know, but I guess you got to be weird like me and want to have a library.
Well, and
I think books are clearly huge.
And I think also finding a way to collect the information or record
Absolutely.
The information. So,
yes.
You know, for if it's a book that you own, maybe you're annotating in the book itself or putting yep. using post-it notes or whatever. But I think you have a system, right, for when you're recording
yeah,
things
so,
or how do you do it?
Yeah. And so, and I'm not as diligent as I should be. And, you know, just so for full transparency for our listeners, the reason that I wanted to do a series on a growth plan and the reason I'm going to be teaching a class on the growth plan was I wasn't happy with the record keeping of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm revamping my whole system. But the way, and this I stole from John Maxwell, if you think about it, you go through a book, and I'm a highlighter, so I'll highlight things that I think are important. But then the other thing I've done is I've written on the inside cover of the book a thought, a point, and the page it's on.
Mm-hmm.
So I may know it's in that book. Now, something else I tried as I was flying once to the West Coast for some meetings is using... my Evernote app, I opened up a note for that book. And I would just, because I was reading the book and my app, my iPad was next to me, and I would highlight a line, and then I would just put, you know, a quick thought on that Evernote and the page number.
Mm-hmm.
So for that book, I did that. That might actually be better than writing on the inside of the book.
Well, because then you have all of your stuff in the same place.
Right. And it's searchable.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, the key is to just find a system to record it. Now, other people will do it where in their daily reflections. So one of your reflection questions I always say is, what did I learn? That's where you can write down, this really spoke to me out of this book today. And this is what I learned from it. And this is what I'm going to do with it. So that's all part of this thinking through the process of, and I'm glad you reminded me to talk about, how do we capture the information from the books? Because... We're going to need to capture information from every one of the tools that we're going to use, or we aren't going to learn.
Right.
And another key thing is to share it with someone. Hey, I just read this and this, and this is what it said, and this is what I thought about it. That really helps us. If we go back to our, there was a podcast where we talked about how much we forget when we go to training. One of the ways to embed it is you make a note and you share it with somebody. So that's books. We have classes.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, you know, MACNY has all kinds of classes. We are continually expanding the classes that we offer. There's classes you can take at community colleges that are very, very inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you've talked about free classes
mm-hmm.
that you can get online. And I think maybe one of the things we can do, you know, is when we have this PDF that we're going to offer at the end as a free download, maybe we can put some of those notes in there as to where they can find some of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the internet is full of growth opportunities, but there are certainly websites where you can either do free training or paid training. Again, going back to the library, a lot of libraries have a lynda.com subscription that you can access. But I mean, I think people might be surprised at what they can find online for a relatively inexpensive investment and really get a lot of information.
Right. Rachel Hollis, who is one of the speakers at this year's Live to Lead, said, "In a time with so much free information, your ignorance is a personal choice."
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. She's favorite for saying, "I'm going to give you the secret to all the information you need. It's G-O-O-G-L-E. It's Google." So classes, mentors, you know, you need to find a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And you should have multiple mentors. And it doesn't, you know, mentoring is just, I'm identifying people that are farther down the journey than I am. People that are on the same path, but they're far, you know, so you could have, I really think that like for young parents, you know, having people that have been parents that are maybe a generation ahead of you that you really trust, or maybe you've looked at how their families turned out and you said, these people could mentor me in some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship mentors, you know, people that you might say, well, these folks have a wonderful relationship. You know, maybe I'm just going to ask them some questions and maybe they'd be willing to have coffee once a month type of thing. And then clearly the work type of thing within your organizations, there should be people that you can find as a mentor. But I made a note in my post that came out this morning was, long before I met John Maxwell, he mentored me through his writings. It was almost as if I knew the man because I read his writings. So a mentor doesn't have to be someone that you meet with personally, but the difference between reading a book that a mentor wrote versus reading a book just for enjoyment is, I'm looking for the teaching moments in that book from that mentor. And I'm beginning to think like he or she thinks. And then I practice what he or she is asking me to do in their writing, so that you can be mentored by people that you've never met, people that aren't alive anymore. You could be mentored by. Let's talk about networking. You know, what... And what do you think is the value in networking? Because you know, you were really big on our events at MACNE, and you pretty much kicked off the individual membership piece. And why should we network with people?
I mean, I think it's in the same vein as mentoring, except maybe it's almost like it could be the first step, right? Could be like the tributary into it. Is that you have an opportunity to meet with a lot of people and find others that are on a similar journey as you are, and hopefully connect with them and not just make that connection once, but over time, you know, especially with what we do at MACNE, like if you are part of a council, you might meet someone who's on a similar path to you, and then you'll see them monthly at those events. So you kind of build this, we've talked about networks before, and how you have people around you that you can learn from and they can learn from you. And then it's also enjoyable. You know, oftentimes it's a social setting. And so you're kind of killing two birds with one stone, I guess. And it's funny because this one, I'd say this one is sometimes hard for me. Even though I do feel like I am a pretty social person, I tend to, this is a hard one for me because I'm a little more introverted, but I do find when I, you know, put myself out there and really try to find someone to network with when I'm at these types of events, it is very beneficial.
Right. And I love the fact that you said it's a little bit hard for you because you're somewhat introverted.
Mm-hmm.
For our listeners, networking events are really hard for me too.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna say, wait, you're not introverted. I am and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I am a high influence behavior profile, but my second highest behavior profile is an S, which is, so I like being with people, but it's really hard for me. It's gotten easier in the 3.5 years I've been at MACNE, but the first few years was really hard for me to put myself out, so to speak, at our networking events. When I was on MACNE's board, when I was the president of SelfLock, and even before that, when I was on the Factory Management Council, I stayed with a small group of people at all the events, and now it gets easier. And so my encouragement to people is, do it scared, so to speak. You know, just go with an idea of, you know, I'd like to meet some people. I'd like to learn what people are doing. And those become learning opportunities that may lead you to mentors. So don't think that you have to be this person that loves to be out in a crowd. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy part is I don't mind standing up and talking in front of 1,000 people. But to make me go say hello to 1,000 people, oh my goodness, that's like a nightmare. So yeah. Your behavior profile is you, and you can't really change that. You just have to learn to work within it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's easier. You know, now I don't mind going. Now, and the other reason is I know a bunch more people now. Mm-hmm. So it's most of the time I'm going to find somebody that I've met before.
Right. You have more familiar faces in the room.
Yeah, more familiar faces. So if you're nervous about networking, just jump right out and try it.
Mm-hmm.
And your best, if you're listening and you're a MACNE member, your best way to begin networking is come to some events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as individual, if you're an individual member, all of our events are free, of our council meetings are free,
mm-hmm.
because you've paid for it. You may have to pay for a meal if there's a meal served, but so networking is huge. It's huge. So some of the notes that I sent you, when you look at that list,
mm-hmm.
which ones jumped out at you as some that you would think would be your favorite resources?
You know, in addition to some of the ones we've already talked about, I really do enjoy blogs. So and more additional online resources here. Blogs for me is where I get a lot of information. Again, it's free. You can access it on the internet on your own time. And of course, podcasts.
We're partial to those, right?
Yeah, we're partial to podcasts. I know you probably listen to more podcasts than I do, but when I do, I have a tendency to like, I'll find one that I really like and then I'll just listen to all of them. So I kind of bounce back and forth between an audiobook or a podcast when I'm in the car or if I'm, you know, in my yard doing work or something like that. So those I feel like are great ways to gather information to be introduced to other thought leaders. Because a lot of the podcasts I listen to, they're interviewing someone else who I may not have known about otherwise.
Yep.
And so I kind of just add them to my resource list.
Let me back up one minute. So how does a person find a blog on a topic that they're interested in, or even a podcast? Because I have a lot of people that I talk to that says, what's a podcast? Believe it or not, there are people that still don't know what podcasts are. Now, if they're listening to ours, they do. But how would they find a blog?
For me, I find a lot of my both blogs and podcasts through social media.
Okay.
Like recommendations from other people would probably be the second source. But that's how I find a lot of the information that I consume online.
Okay.
How about you? I mean, you listen to a lot of podcasts. I don't know how many blogs you follow, but.
Yeah, I don't follow a lot of blogs. Mm-hmm. But I listen to a lot of podcasts. And so typically it will be something I heard about,
mm-hmm.
or you were going to talk about social media, and I'll see it on social media. So if I follow, you know, let's say I'm following the John Maxwell Company, which I do, or the John Maxwell team, every now and then they will advertise for, you know, another podcaster or a blogger.
Mm-hmm.
So I interrupted you when you were going to go into social media. So tell us what you were thinking.
Well, you know, similar to blogs, like I said, social media is where I find a lot of the blogs that I follow. But we talked about this prior to recording, is that social media, you know, gets a lot of negative commentary around it. But it's all about how you build your online networks. And so if you have a choice of who you follow or whose pages you like. And so maybe you feel like your social media is a negative place right now. Well, that is a sign that maybe it's not for you, or maybe you're just following the wrong people. If you are scrolling through, say, your Instagram feed and you are feeling negative feelings like jealousy or comparison, that means you might be following the wrong accounts. But if you are on there and looking for uplifting, motivational, inspirational people to follow, which I know you talked about that before we were recording, then it can be a place where a positive place where you feel inspired, right, where you find blogs or resources that make sense for your growth plan.
Exactly.
I find a lot of the like parenting related things that I follow, mm-hmm, or even like more practical things like effective systems for your home or like house and home keeping, that kind of stuff. I don't know. I have a tendency to follow those kinds of accounts, but
sure.
It's, kind of helped me organize my home life, which makes, clears my head for all the other things going on in my life. So,
right.
If it's something that it's not for everyone, but there are opportunities to make it worth your while and just check in, absolutely, with it, find a system that works for you. I know I have friends that only view their social media accounts once a month, once a week, might be once a day. You can mm-hmm set, if you have an iPhone, you can set your allowance for the amount of time you can spend on it. So if it does turn into a, if you have a tendency to go down rabbit holes, then maybe you need to set one of those limits up on your phone. But it can be a positive place, I think.
Right. And I'm glad that you shared that, because, social media has gotten a bad rap because it's being used by people that just want to get clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to get clicks is to be mean and say nasty things. And people try to, go down the rabbit hole. You build the social presence, the social media presence that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And, just for folks that maybe aren't in tune with this. So let's say I want to grow in leadership. So on Instagram, I could just do a search on hashtag leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to give me everybody that's tagged their post with leadership. Now, some of that's going to be good. Some of it's probably going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at some and then you say, wow, this is pretty interesting. So you click on that one and you look at it. And if it's a decent organization type of thing, you're going to be able to follow that. So you follow it. And if it's giving you, and the one thing that I like about it, and it was something I shared with you that I mentioned yesterday, was, I found some very interesting social media sites or Instagram accounts that build strong marriage relationships. It's, mm-hmm, strong marriage or that type of thing. So it would be a hashtag strong marriage. And then you follow the organizations that have the values that you subscribe to or ascribe to. The whole gamut's there. So you pick the ones that fit your value statements.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get daily reminders. And part of the key that we're going to talk about much more next week is this has to become a daily activity for you to be working on your growth. So if you can find tools like social media that will help keep you on track, that's just a powerful tool.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's said, the powerful part is that it's keeping you on track and not...
It's keeping you on track, right.
Not making you feel inadequate.
Exactly. You don't ever want to follow anybody that's making you feel inadequate,
mm-hmm,
or that's agitating you,
mm-hmm,
because those negative feelings will not serve any purpose whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was some things that I was emphasizing. Some of the folks know that I'm also a pastor in a church, and that was something that I said yesterday in church. Use these tools. The tools are not bad. They're tools. Use them to help you live the life that you want to live and to reach your fullest potential.
Mm-hmm.
So that's social media. TED Talks. TED Talks are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's neat about, let's say, Simon Sinek, I don't know if I could say accurately 100%, but almost all of Simon's content is free. Just search it.
Right.
The first time I ever heard Simon Sinek talk about Start With Why was a TED Talk. So there's TED Talks on everything. pick your topics. Look for the TED Talks. They're typically not that long. You know, you watch them on YouTube. It's amazing the stuff that's there. I want to touch real quick, because I know we're running out of time, on intentional meetings. So intentional meetings, I stole that idea from John Maxwell, and he once a month goes to lunch with someone in leadership, someone he admires, that he doesn't really know. And he has a series of questions that he asks. Questions like, you know, what's a failure that you'd be willing to talk about and what did you learn from it? What book are you reading right now? Mm-hmm. And why? What's the best book you ever read and why? And he's got a few others, and one of them is, and who do you know that I should know? And he always asks that toward the end. And in these leadership lunches, I forgot what he calls them, that's how he ended up meeting Coach John Wooden, because he was having lunch with somebody that said, you know, I think the person you need to meet is John Wooden. Well, John Maxwell would have loved to have met John Wooden, but he didn't know anybody that knew John Wooden. Well, he had just found somebody who did, and this person said, oh, I'll make an introduction for you. And what followed was, I think, a 3-year mentoring opportunity just because of one of those learning leadership lunch type things. So find the people, you know, if once you identify where you want to go, then you start looking for who might be a thought leader in that area or on a topic. And then develop your list of questions and start seeing if you can buy somebody lunch. A lot of people will go to lunch. If you're willing to buy their lunch, they'll go to lunch with you. And you can learn a lot from people. And the best part is that, you know, like, who do you know that I should know? And they can make the introduction for you. What did we miss? We didn't talk about coaching, but we had a whole series. We did an interview once on coaching.
Right.
So we won't go down that rabbit hole, which you know I like to go down from time to time.
We know how you feel about coaching.
You do. I hope everybody does know. So really, you can see, you know, I hope our listeners are recognizing this is an extremely broad area. Resources are everywhere. Identify the resources that you like the best, that you're most comfortable with. So again, what we're doing is we're taking the assessments that we've done. The first week, we identified what we want, what we're looking for, our goals in life. The second week, we began to evaluate each one of those goals, value areas. How are we doing in that area? So the strengths, I don't think I talked about this. We want to develop our strengths. You want to spend the majority of your time growing in your strength zone. Then we get to our weakness piece. Okay, character. If your weakness is a character issue, like when my wife shared with me that my greatest weakness was I didn't value people enough. That's not a skill that's missing. That's a character piece. There was no way for me to ignore that. I had to address that. So I'm not going to ever give anybody slack that says, well, yeah, I just, you know, I have a character flaw, but it's just my personality. Not buying it. Change it. Fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But other areas, I'm not a detail-oriented person. That's a skill set issue. There's also an aptitude piece to that. I can give myself skills that help me get by in that area, but I will never be exceptional in it because that's not part of my behavior profile. So areas that like detail-focused, managing data, managing tasks, I need to find tools that help me stay at least acceptable, but then I bring people into my life that can supplement where my aptitude isn't high.
Mm-hmm.
You edit all my writing. I don't care how many times I try. There's so much stuff I miss. It's not a giftedness for me. It is for you. So for me, spending, you know, a year of my life trying to figure out how to be a better proofreader, I'm not doing it. It's not because I will never be very good at that. You're exceptional at it. I'm not. So thankfully, you're willing to partner with me to cover that. So I hope that mm-hmm. makes sense about the strength and weakness thing. Yeah. And we'll touch on a little bit more on that next week.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you're spending the majority of your time developing your strengths to a higher level. And the reason is you're only going to excel in your gifted areas. And people don't pay for average. Because the best you can be in your areas where it's not weak, where you're weak, is average. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, good, because I wasn't sure it was. Anything else you think we need to talk about this week on this resource piece?
I mean, we covered a lot of resources, and I think, you know, it doesn't mean you need to go and do all of those things. So, you know, if if you're a visual learner, TED Talks might be good for you. Like for me, I can't watch too many of them or else I start drifting off. But you know, find what works for you. A lot of these things are low or no cost. And just give it a try. Try one. If it doesn't work, try another. If you want to do a hybrid. Right. So I just want to encourage people to find what works for them. And just because it works for me or works for you doesn't mean it works for everyone.
Yes. And start small. Mm-hmm. We don't want people to be overwhelmed. And that's, you know, part of, we'll talk more about that next week. But get, you know, this one thing, just give it a try. If it, if it speaks to you, if it works, do more. If it doesn't, move on. So next week, again, we're going to talk about building the plan once we have our resources lined up. And then the following week, we'll kind of do a recap, and there will be some handouts that you can download that will walk you through the process again.
Yep.
Should we talk about Live to Lead?
Yes, please.
Live to Lead is our, we do the rebroadcast of the John Maxwell Company's Live to Lead, and we will be hosting that here in Syracuse, the Lodge at Welch Allen, on the last Friday in October, which is the 25th. I got to get that right sooner or later.
I hope. I'm pretty sure I've created
it. It's the last Friday in October, and if they go to our website, you know, macne.org, you can register right online.
Yes, it's October 25th.
Perfect. All right. Looking forward to next week, Marissa.
Yes, me too.
So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.